ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. శుక్లాంబరధరం విష్ణుం శశివర్ణం చతుర్భుజం ప్రసన్నవదనం ధ్యాయేత్ సర్వవిఘ్నోపశాంతయే. సరస్వతి నమస్తుభ్యం వరదే కామరూపిణి. విద్యారంభం కరిష్యామి సిద్ధిర్భవతు మే సదా. గురుర్బ్రహ్మా గురుర్విష్ణు గురుర్దేవో మహేశ్వరః గురుస్సాక్షాత్ పరం బ్రహ్మ తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. So, we finished 4 shlokas, right? Sadhana Panchakam?
Alright.
Yeah. So, let us go to the last shloka. Okay, we'll chant the shloka once and then we'll go into the meaning. Ekante sukhamasyatam. ఏకాంతే సుఖమాస్యతాం. పరతరే చేతః సమాధీయతాం. పరతరే చేతః సమాధీయతాం. పూర్ణాత్మా సుసమీక్ష్యతాం. జగదిదం తద్భాదితం దృశ్యతాం. జగదిదం తద్బాధితం దృశ్యతాం. ప్రాక్కర్మ ప్రవిలాప్యతాం. ప్రాక్కర్మ ప్రవిలాప్యతాం. క్షితిబలాన్నాప్యుత్తరైశ్లిష్యతాం. క్షితిబలాన్నాప్యుత్తరైశ్లిష్యతాం. శ్లిష్యతాం. ప్రారబ్ధం త్విహ భుజ్యతాం. ప్రారబ్ధం త్విహ భుజ్యతాం. అథ పరబ్రహ్మాత్మనాస్థీయతాం. అథ పరబ్రహ్మాత్మనాస్థీయతాం. So this is the last and final shloka of Sadhana Panchakam. So here Acharya is describing the advanced state of tapas. So if you look at the sequence of shlokas from the beginning, it started with the daily dharmas that we have to follow and the qualities that we need to develop before we can qualify for Vedanta Jnanam or Atma Jnanam. After the required qualifications have been acquired, then Acharya says, approach a guru, worship his feet, and obtain the jnana of the Upanishads from that Mahatma. And after learning, once you receive that knowledge from the guru, then he also described the tapas that a sadhaka has to continue. For example, Chudvyadhischa Chikitsyatam, the last shloka that we saw. Shitoshnadi Vishahyatam, Natu Vrutha Vakyam Samucharyatam, all these things, the various types of tapas one has to do to retain that jnanam and then climb slowly, step upon step of the liberation path. Now here in the last shloka, Acharya is describing what advanced tapas or advanced sadhana one should do, and this sadhaka has now acquired all the qualifications, approached a guru, received the knowledge, did the tapas, did the required sadhana after receiving such knowledge to establish himself or herself in that Brahmasthiti or Atmasthiti. Then what is the continuing advanced sadhana one has to go through? Then let us go into the actual meaning of the verse itself. How Acharya is describing it here. Ekante sukham asyatam. Ekante sukham asyatam. So here, ekante, ekanta, ekanta means solitude. Ekante sukham asyatam means live joyfully in solitude or enjoy your solitude. As we go further and further in the path of jnana and path of liberation, our dependence on the external world for our happiness reduces further and further. Normally, in our day-to-day life, we keep searching for happiness in the outside world. That is why we keep interacting with other people, because otherwise the mind becomes restless. For a normal person, if we ask him to sit quietly for a few minutes, he'll become restless. If we ask him or her to sit quietly for an hour, that is even worse. So the mind requires constant communication with the external world. And that has been made extremely easy these days with technology, where the means of communications are at our fingertips 24/7. So anytime we want to communicate with anybody, the means are available to us. So the mind is more and more and more dependent on some form of communication with the outside world, and when we shut off that communication, the mind immediately becomes restless. These days we see we can probably live without food and water, but not without our cell phones. That is how we have become dependent. One day we cannot get ourselves cut off from the communicating with the outside world. And that is how we are training our mind to always be in touch. And these days, explicitly people take vacation, keeping all their means of communications aside, and they go on a vacation for a week or so without anything. Some say they feel refreshed. Others, they might feel very frustrated and very depressed because they don't know what's going on in the outside world. But as you realize more and more the futility of having constant communication with the external world, and as you learn more and more the importance of keeping in communication with yourself and develop the knowledge of the Atma, then we will enjoy more and more our own solitude. It may not be physical solitude. Physical solitude is also good once in a while. But even if we are not physically alone, our mental solitude is preserved. Being alone is different from experiencing loneliness. People experience loneliness even in the midst of a crowd. It depends on what the mental state is. And one can be alone even in the midst of a crowd. So either you can feel loneliness or you can be alone. Being alone is something that comes with practice. Experiencing loneliness is something that comes from helplessness. So if you want to be alone, if you have trained your mind how to be alone, cut off mentally from the external world, it is possible, and you can at once go into that peaceful state of mind and be alone even in the midst of a crowd. Once you practice it enough, that is called tapas. And that is when you can at will either switch on and switch off your mind from the external world. And Acharya here is saying, learn how to experience that happiness being alone, experiencing the happiness of solitude. So, sometimes it may mean physical solitude. It is necessary for everyone to just take off a little bit and then be alone and reflect on things. But what is more important is that mental solitude where your mind is not suffering from thousands of tentacles going into the external world and receiving communications in thousand different ways. So that is ekante sukhamasyatam paratare chetas samadhiyatam. Chetaha is consciousness or mind. Paratare chetas samadhiyatam. Establish your mind in paratara. Para means beyond. Paratara is what is beyond the beyond. What is beyond the beyond? So typically what we have is the physical world. That is the immediate plane of our experience. Then there is the mental world, which is para, and the spiritual world is the paratara. And the Brahman or the Bhagavan here is called paratara. So in Bhagavan or at the feet of Bhagavan, if you are still doing a saguna dhyana, or in Brahman if you are doing nirguna dhyanam, paratare chetas samadhiyatam, establish your mind in that paratara, in that supreme of the supremes. And so what happens? Mind has to hold on to something or the other. The mind cannot just stay in a vacuum. You cannot just suspend your mind from not being on anything. If you leave one thing, the mind wants to catch something else. That is why mind is compared to a monkey. So if you leave one thing, it has to catch something else. As long as you keep feeding it garbage, it'll hold on to garbage. If you leave the external world and train your mind to go and stay at the feet of Bhagavan, eventually it will start doing it and it will also enjoy doing it. So that is why Acharya says sukham asyatam, enjoy it. Then once you samadhiyatam, once you establish your mind in that supreme consciousness, so how do we do it? How do we actually get to that? How do we go to a state where I am establishing my mind in the supreme consciousness? That is the sadhana one has to go through with the help of one's guru. The guru will teach how to do this sadhana, how to do this dhyanam. So in the jnana marga, there are three steps that are prescribed. One is called shravanam, the second is called mananam, and the third is called nididhyasanam. Shravanam means hearing the knowledge of Brahman or Atma Jnanam from the Guru. That is one type of learning. So, and after Shravanam, it is called Mananam, reflecting upon what we have learned from the Guru. That is the second type of learning. And Nididhyasanam is constantly dwelling our mind upon and establishing ourselves in that state. So being in that state, as opposed to just thinking about state, which is mananam, being in that state is nididhyasanam. And that is what Acharya is referring to here as samadhi. Samadhi means being in that state, being in that state of supreme consciousness. It may seem theoretical right now, but as we go through the sadhana, and once we approach a guru and the guru teaches us how to actually practically get there, then this will become clear. But here Acharya is just giving an overall picture of how to progress from the day-to-day life to a spiritually evolved, enlightened life. So, paratare chetas samadhiyatam, purnatma susamikshyatam. Purnatma su samikshyatam. And once you enter that place of solitude in your mind, then the only thing that the mind can abide in is the thing that is the adhishtanam of the mind. If you are able to, by the power of sadhana, if you are able to remove all the external influences and dwell your mind on something, that something will obviously be the supreme consciousness. So purnatma susamikshatam. And here Acharya is calling atma as purnatma. Purnatma means, purna means obviously full. So why atma is called purnaha? Atma is called purnaha because This Atma or Brahman or Parameshwara, as whatever name we use to refer to it, it is Purnam because there is nothing lacking in that Padartham. There is nothing lacking. So when we think about ourselves, immediately we think of so many things that we do not have. If you want to describe yourself, you can describe yourself as, you know, I am a short person. That means immediately you are not tall. If you say I am a fat person, immediately you are not thin. So in any way you describe it, there is something that is lacking. You cannot be one and the other both. But Bhagavan is not like that. Bhagavan can be everything and nothing at the same time. So that is why he is called Purnaha, that is why he is called Ishwaraha. There is nothing lacking and there is nothing that he or it desires. And that is why it is called the supreme goal of life, because once we reach there, we also experience the being of not lacking anything. So that is when we also become Purnaha. And then we don't lack anything. And suffering only comes from the sense of lacking. Suffering comes only from the sense of lacking. I lack this, therefore I need something, I don't have it, and that is where the suffering starts. But when you realize that, when you realize that I am Purnaha, Aham Purnaha, and there is nothing that I am lacking, there is no more suffering. And that comes at the end of Shravana Manana Nididhyasana, and that will become the being. Being means you are living that way, and that is what is called the Jivan Mukta Sthiti. Even living within this very body, one is able to experience that liberation, which will give one the experience of Purnatvam. Then Jagadidam tadbadhitam drishyatam. Jagadidam tadbadhitam drishyatam. And once we go through the logical analysis of this Atma, this Jagat and I. So this Paramatma, this Jagat and I, the Jivatma, and experience the Purnatvam of Paramatma, we also realize that if I am able to experience myself of as Paramatma, the entire Jagat that I am seeing around me must be Paramatma and nothing else. And that truth really dawns upon us, and we'll be able to realize that Vishwam Vishnuhu, Vishwam, this entire world is nothing but Paramatma Swarupam. Jagadidam tadbadhitam drishyatam. It is nothing but a reflection of Paramatma. And if you look at the other way, Jagadidam tadbadhitam drishyatam, this entire world, according to Vedanta, is just a projection of one's own mind. No mind, no world. So we'll go to the explanation of how that happens when we get to further lessons in Vedanta, how mind projects the world, and when there is no mind, there is no world. So that the mind projecting the world is called Drishti Srishti Nyayam. It is called Drishti Srishti Nyayam. So the Srishti outside is there because you have Drishti, or one has Drishti. If one does not have the Drishti, the world vanishes. And what happens to the Jivan Mukta? The Jivan Mukta has lost the Drishti of the world. He only now has the Drishti of Bhagavan. So the image of the world disappears, and only the image of Bhagavan remains, or the Parabrahman remains. So the entire thing seems like Parabrahman only. So Jagadidam tadbadhitam drishyatam. Next, prakarma pravilapyatam. Now prakarma pravilapyatam. So here we need to talk a little bit about what karma is. So I will go into detail of karma and the law of karma and the theory of karma in a future class, but I will just very quickly explain how karma works. The karma that we perform is divided into three parts. One is called Prarabdha Karma, the second is called Agami Karma, and the third is called Sanchita Karma. Agami Karma is the karma that is yet to fructify. We know our shastras say that any karma that we do, we have to bear the fruit of it. If it's a dharmic karma, we get punyam. If it is adharmic karma, we get papam. And agami karma means that the result of that karma is yet to fructify. And this karma accumulates lifetime over lifetime over lifetime. So all of us, we don't know how many millions of lifetimes of karma we each have accumulated. And there is a lot of that waiting to be fructified, to give us punyam and papam, sukham and dukham. So all that that is in store for the future is called agami karma. What I am going through right now is called prarabdha karma. I am experiencing sukham and dukham every single day, and until the end of this human body that I have taken, I will experience sukham and dukham until this body drops off. That is called prarabdha karma. Sanchita karma means there is a huge karma sitting, which is the total balance of everything, of agami, of prarabdha, of the karma that I have already exhausted. So the entire bank balance, the whole thing together, is called sanchita karma. Then what happens to the jivan mukta once he attains brahma jnanam, when he attains atma jnanam? Acharya says prak karma pravilapyatam. Prak karma means a karma that has been earned before, which is the sanchita karma. The entire karma balance is pravilapyatam, is just dissolved, is wiped off. By what? Chitibalat. Chitibalat means by the power of knowledge, atma jnanam. In Gita, Krishna says, jnanagni dagdha karmanam tamahus panditam buddhaha. So, jnanagni dagdha karmanam. So, this jnanam, once the atma jnanam is received, it acts like a fire. If you have, for example, a mountain of cotton, one small spark is enough to reduce the entire mountain of cotton into ashes. So this jnanam acts like that. Once we receive atma jnanam, we lose the sense that I am the body. That ego vanishes. The body identification vanishes. Only Bhagavan, Paramatma identification remains. So sanchita karma vanishes. Agami karma also, you are not attached to it. Whatever has to come in the future janmas, you are not attached to it, because atma jnanam guarantees that you are out of the janma and mrityu cycle. So once atma jnanam is gotten, janma and mrityu cycle is broken off, so agami karma does not affect anymore. Now, if sanchita karma is gone and agami karma is gone, whatever is remaining, prarabdha karma, that one has to go through. Prarabdham tviha bhujyatam. Because we have already taken this body, until this body falls off, prarabdham has to continue, and whatever sukham and dukham one has to experience, the jnani also will experience. You have seen many, many Mahatmas who are realized jnanis. They still go through their prarabdha. They still get sick. They still get diseases. They still go through so many pains. But from that point onwards, they do not take anything to heart. They do not identify with that. They only bear it, because the body has to bear it, because the prarabdham is there until the body falls off. Prarabdham tu iha bhujyatam atha parabrahmatmana sthiyatam. And what, while experiencing prarabdha, what is their state? The jivan mukta state is parabrahmatmana sthiyatam. He or she establishes oneself only in that Brahman consciousness, in the consciousness of Paramatma, Aham Brahmasmi. That is the Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi sthiti. So Aham Dehosmi is gone. Identification with the body is gone. Identification with the Indriyas is gone. Identification with the family is gone. Identification with anything that has to do with the external world is gone. The body will continue to live until the prarabdha has to be exhausted, but this person is now experiencing the supreme joy of being one with that Supreme Consciousness. Because it is like breaking free of a cage. If someone puts us in a tight cage for 20 years, 30 years, and suddenly we break free of that cage, how what is the feeling that we experience? What is the liberation, feeling of liberation that we experience? That is what the experience of the Jnani will be. Of course, there is absolutely no parallel that we can give, no example that we can give to describe in the language of the mortals what ananda a jnani will experience. The highest of our knowledge is Veda. Veda itself says, I cannot describe the joy a Mukta Purusha experiences because it cannot be described in words. That is why in the Veda you see, Ahamannam, 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 Ahamannado, Ahamannado, Ahamannado. So that is what the Jnani is saying. I am everything. I am this. I only identify with the Paramatma. In that Paramatma, everything is there. I see that the Jagat is there. Whatever is being eaten is there. Whatever is eating is there. Everything is myself. And finally, I can say, Aham Brahmasmi. So absolutely no example or no parallel can be given for the joy one experiences once that Brahman realization comes. It is the acme or pinnacle of perfection for a human being, and the pinnacle of enjoyment or the supreme happiness, also called bliss, for the human being. And that is the most worthy of the goals for the human being. So that is why Acharya starts with Vedo Nityam Adhiyatam and ends with Parabrahmatmana Sthiyatam. Establish yourself in that state of Brahmi Sthiti, Aham Brahmasmi Sthiti, and that is the goal and aim of every human being. So this way Acharya goes through step by step, stage by stage, of how one should start a spiritual life from the time one is a brahmachari all the way through how one should achieve the supreme realization or moksha sthiti at the end of one's sadhana, and then abide oneself in there and enjoy until the body falls off. It is called Jivan Mukta Sthiti. And once the body falls off, that's it. There is no more birth and death. That is when it is called the Videha Mukta Sthiti. So Mukta Purusha is a Mukta Purusha. Once the knowledge is received, that's it. Moksham is gotten, and the body will fall off at some point, and then Videha Mukti happens. So this is the overview of the spiritual life given by Acharya. So with this, Sadhana Panchakam is complete, and from next class onwards, I will take up a few more topics that are going to be fundamental before we get into Vedanta. So some of you asked whether we'll be covering Bhagavad Gita shloka, the meaning, etc. I will cover Bhagavad Gita meaning, but Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads and Brahma Sutras are like the PhD texts of Vedanta. That is why they are called the Prasthanatri. So to learn Bhagavad Gita shlokas, the meaning of Bhagavad Gita, to learn the meaning of Brahma Sutras, and to learn the meaning of Upanishads means we are in the PhD class. Without going through the elementary, middle school, high school and preliminary college, we cannot sit in a PhD class. Nothing will be obvious to us. Everything will just fly over the head. That is why I am doing this as in a structured fashion, starting from the basics or slowly building upon one after the other. And once we have all the basics, then we will definitely go into Bhagavad Gita and the Upanishads. Then whatever learning we all do, that will stay with us, that will make sense for us, that we will understand and we will be able to implement. Otherwise everything seems like just some theoretical knowledge. So next time, I will post, maybe in a couple of days, I'll post what I'm going to cover next week, and then we'll go from there. Okay. Any questions?
Guruji, Namaskaram. So, in the first line of the shloka, you said, like, you know, the state of mind, you know, like, you know, attach it to the supreme being.
Right.
So, is that possible to actually have no thoughts at all, or, like, you know, what is there a state of mind like that, or?
Yeah, again, so here, no thoughts. Yes, it is possible to have no thoughts at all, but not with the mind that we have right now. So our mind is sankalpa vikalpatmakam, means it has to make some sankalpa or the other, some thought or the other. It just let's say you sit for meditation. Let us say you don't do any japa or anything. Just watch yourself. Just be a silent witness and see how many hundreds of thoughts come and go through the mind if you want to just sit and meditate. So it is not possible with the state of mind that we have. That requires a lot of training with the body, with the mind, with the intellect, with the walk. You know, all kinds of tapas is needed. And it all has to come together, and at the end of the Shravana Manana Nididhyasana, what the sadhaka goes into what is called the Savikalpa Samadhi, where he still entertains the thoughts, but the thoughts are of pure sattvic nature. And after that, one can go into Nirvikalpa Samadhi, where there are absolutely no thoughts whatsoever, there is only existence. It is possible, but absolutely not at the level that normal people are in.
Okay, thank you.
So, as a step, the point that you are mentioning, right, that is, observe the mind. So, is that something like, you know, we could do now, so that is, in a sense, like, take 5-10 minutes, just observe where it is going in this first step, and eventually build upon it? Is that something
you
can practice?
You can, but it is not advisable to just sit in a meditation and start observing the mind, because that itself is a fairly advanced state of meditation.
Okay.
For normal sadhakas, how meditation should be done, obviously meditation can only be done once asana and pranayama are sort of in control. Even if you cannot even sit properly for 10 minutes, what meditation can you do? What observation can you do? So that practice has to be taken. And then one has to do what is called the Sagarbha Pranayama. So means actually doing japa with some mantra. That is why in our tradition they give all these mantraopadesham, where they say, okay, do this mantra so many lakhs of times, so many thousands of times, keeping your mind on the devata of that mantra. So that teaches mental focus and mental concentration. And from there, slowly you can move from Sagarbha to what is called Agarbha, where you are not actually doing any japa, you are actually doing focus. That is why after japa, they say, start focusing on a candlelight. So just to focus on the candlelight, don't do any japa, don't do anything, just start focusing. And then after a while, once you perfect that, then close your mind and observe things. So there are stages of going through the meditation, but that itself is a very advanced state.
Okay. Thank you. Guru, one question to Vishnadi. Sanchita karma, ante, you said that it is like karma which you got accumulated from the almost like previous births, right? But you said it will be vanishing. It vanishes. So when that karma vanishes, the present state,
So I will go through the entire karma siddhanta and how these three types of karma work and how they interact with each other and how exactly they vanish in one of the next classes. One or two classes I will dedicate for karma siddhanta, because it is very important for us to know how karma siddhanta works. Otherwise this whole thing doesn't make sense at all, because as long as we are very very clear with how karma siddhanta works, then we can go into Vedanta very easily. So I'm not going to answer that like right now, but I will dedicate an entire class to discuss that.
Okay.
Okay, anything else? Okay, we will stop here then. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamadachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Avashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari. Thank you.
Thank you, Guru.